that. So.
Do you know what? I might, this has inspired me. I might, maybe I will write a request in my will that in my funeral, everybody stands up and says the thing that they hated me about me the most. Just for shits and giggles.
So not
Do you
even
know
loved
what?
about you is like,
Yeah, like just at least, no, they
ah.
have to say at least one thing, the worst thing about me. And like, do you know what I mean? Just for
She
it to be.
doesn't close lids properly.
But like,
She
what
molts everywhere. Oh, wait,
if.
no.
We're not allowed to talk about that. I think I'm losing my hair. That's a sensitive thing right now. Don't actually, honestly, I was saying to my mum yesterday, I think I'm going bald. Like, it's falling out.
I just want to see the same things you can see. Understand the meaning on a new degree.
In this episode, Tara and Sipo sat down with each other to have a conversation. And these two, I don't know. I'm going to say it. They're a power couple. They have such a great energy, and they were my very first recording. They were the first pair that I recorded. And if I could do it all over again, I would still have them be the very first, because the way that they approach life, the way that they care and support for like each other, it's just, it was infectious. And I thought, yeah, I'm definitely onto something. Just because they're so passionate about what they believe in and how they live life. So it is an honor to be able to share that with you, to share the conversation that they had. I also want to point out that in this episode, they each had a moment where they kind of said, no, I don't want to go there. And to watch the other person respect that boundary, to hold that in caring and in respect, was a beautiful thing. And it's something that I think needs to be modeled everywhere. So definitely have a lookout for that. This is the edited down version for a podcast. So essentially this is like half of the conversation. And I have done that for all of the conversations only because, you know, attention spans and podcasts, and it just makes more sense to have a longer uncut version on YouTube with all of the pauses and silences and things that don't really translate into a podcast. So please look at the longer versions. There is so much gold in those pieces that I had to cut, and I hated having to cut them. But sometimes you have to kill your darlings, so to speak. So please enjoy this conversation. It was a wonderful thing to be a part of and to witness. Check out all of the project that these two have going on. I'll share their links because they're really, you know, they're taking on the world, and I love it. The other thing is, if you are into this, if you are into the Talking with Mortals ideas and what we're doing here, please support in whatever way is possible for you, whether that is buying a deck of cards that they use in the conversation, or just doing all of the algorithm things that help boost the visibility and awareness of this project. So like, follow, subscribe, share, thumbs up, send carrier pigeons. I've already said that one. You know, do all of the things, whatever you find reasonable. So thank you so much. Thank you for watching. Thank you to everybody who's participated, and Tara and Sipo. Thanks.
Maybe that could happen when you're next to me. I just want to see the same things you can see.
I'm going to go first.
Ladies first.
What makes you jealous? Is it worthy of your energy?
Oh. I don't think many things make me jealous per se. It's because whenever I'm in a situation whereby I don't feel particularly thrilled or in a positive state, I just kind of remove myself from it. So yeah, let's say for example, situations where if one that might be pertinent, mm-hmm. it's like someone's talking to you, approaching you, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel a sense of jealousy, but I'm also kind of like, meh, don't do I actually really care that much?
Yeah. You're already asking yourself the question, is this worth my energy?
Yeah. I'm literally like, and also from that perspective, it's a case of actually having a level of trust within you as well, that if someone approaches you, and I'm going to assume that you're going to, you know, be kind of positive to me and actually respectful to me as well. And then if anything untoward is going to happen, one, you can handle yourself. So it's like all the things I kind of think about, it's like, it's actually not worth my energy. Mm. And if I'm incorrect about that, then I guess I was wrong. Life goes on, you move on.
Yeah. I also think that jealousy is a natural thing, right? It's a natural thing that we do have. However, it's just as you say, it's situational. If you can make a decision about how much of your time and effort and energy that you give to that. And I think that comes to the people in your life. If you've constantly got feelings of jealousy, you've got feelings of mistrust, and you're surrounded by people that you don't trust. It's okay to have those feelings. Like, it's fine. It's about how you manage and how you deal with them and whatever. But I think if it's constant and it's there all the time, you've got some work to do. You either need to go to some therapy, you need to figure out whether you're surrounded by people that you don't trust or whatever, if it's prevalent all the time or regularly, because it's a destructive, I think it's such a destructive emotion.
Mm. And the other thing within that, it's, from a jealousy standpoint, it kind of stems from, I think, two things. If you, like you said, the mistrust element, then also if you don't have a sense of confidence or belief within yourself, then that's when jealousy is normally a symptom of insecurity or
or happiness in your situation. Because the jealousy, it's not just about people, right? Sometimes people are jealous of what somebody else has or is experiencing. And that is usually because they don't have it themselves and they haven't, you know, they know they've got that. It's, you know, they've got that shadow inside that they haven't done enough to get that. And so the jealousy comes up, I think.
And one example, actually, that's slightly different. One of my friends, the family is quite well off and wealthy. Dad drives a really nice car. And on several occasions, there's been times where he'll park the car or people will see the car and like get side eyes or bad looks. So it's like, oh, wonder what he does to actually get that car.
What do you ask? Have you seen that?
Work really hard, actually.
But there's a guy that goes around who asking people, "What did you do to get this car? Like, what did you? What do you do? Tell me what you do."
How and he doesn't become a millionaire. Become a billionaire. What's the advice for that? Yeah. So instead of actually seeing people and actually having a sense of happiness for them, people end up in like but you must have done something dodgy, or like, no, just because you're jealous and inherently unhappy about yourself.
Yeah.
Then you're then. You know, putting that on someone else when literally just living his life and actually enjoying the fruits of his labor.
Mm. Yeah. So,
right, next question.
Ritual. Water.
Make sure not to pour all the water. What surprised you most about adulthood?
I think it's. And this is really funny, based on who I am as a human being. It's the ability to do whatever you want. Like, literally, it's so dangerous for me. you know, like, you're going to wait. It's so dangerous for me. And I take that to the letter of the law, right? I do literally whatever. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on here, because whatever the fuck I want, yeah. Like, I have a bit of a potty mouth, so, yeah. You can literally do whatever the fuck you want and nobody will tell you that you can't. That's so dangerous. There's somebody who still has that, like, so there was somebody in my life who long-term did not give me a very positive experience in life. But one absolutely wonderful thing that came out of that is something that they said to me. They said, Tara, you are like a child with an adult's budget. And that has, like, it's so true, right? I am a child with an adult's budget and I can do whatever I so wish with that budget.
Yep.
And yeah, to be able to do, I think a lot of people don't realize that as adults either. So when you let that land that you can do whatever the hell you want, and that's how I live my life right now. Like I don't have a house that I live in, right? I don't have a fixed abode that I live in because I don't have to. Mm. Just because everybody else does that as an adult, I don't have to do that. I can travel full time, go wherever I want, do whatever. You can do that. That's an option. You can say no to doing anything that you don't want to do. You can just do anything. You can eat dessert first, which you can do that. You don't have to eat in any order that everybody's been telling you to eat in. Like, as a child, you can do whatever you want. So I think, yeah, that surprised me, because you spend your whole childhood being told you must do this and you must do that. And suddenly when you have that thing of, oh, what? I don't have to do it that way. I do whatever I like.
I think the thing that surprised me is how much how unserious everyone is as adults. Because from growing up, it's always like you see all these people and, you know, they have all their big boy jobs, big girl jobs, and doing all these kind of different things. And you think to yourself, oh my God, wow, I can't wait to be grown and mature like these kind of people.
Yeah.
We have gotten to a lot of these people's ages and even past that point, and I'm just like, you motherfuckers have no idea what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
You won, either just winging it, so no one actually has their shit together as much as we think they do,
yeah.
Or at least as I thought when I was younger, because I always had this idea that, you know, adults and have everything figured out. Like, I'm looking at my mum when she had my brother at 19 and me when she was 26 and moving to England and all those kind of things.
I didn't know there was that much of an age gap between you and your brother.
Yeah, 7 years. Oh. 7 years. But with all this kind of a thing, she was basically just kind of winging it. I got to 26. I was like,
By this point, my mom's had two children.
Like, I'm 31 now, going to 32. And she moved to England when she was 34, I want to say. And I'm just even thinking all the stuff that she did and has done. It's, one, I'm just kind of winging all these kind of different things.
But
and
so was she.
Figure it out. And she was
so
as well.
So was she, but you just didn't see that as a child.
You just did not see that as adults. And yeah, we're just all big kids. We just, who just also happen to have budgets.
Yeah, you and I more than, you and I more than some others, I think. Maybe we're just holding our own standards of that, at least we are children.
Yeah, standards, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm going to have a little...
Dig around.
Dig around, yeah, to see if I can find one that I want.
I feel like I'm in an interrogation now. Yeah. Like, she's looking for a specific question, like, what did you do on March the 6th?
Yeah. Oh, this is this is actually almost a really black and white question, but a great thing to consider. Do you have someone in your life that you've decided is responsible for making healthcare decisions on your behalf?
Me? No, I haven't actually. That's actually a really interesting question, because I've never really. So my motto is the whole here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, we know by the amount of salt you put on your food.
I like my food to taste good, or the way I want it to taste. So within that, equally, my mortality is not. It's kind of something that I've never really delved into dug into. Mm. Not because of, you know, fear or anything like that, but it's just because I quite frankly have a kind of laissez-faire, you know, it is what it is kind of attitude. Yeah. Like, if I'm hit by a bus or whatever,
if it's your time, it's your time. We say that all the time, right? If it's your time, it's your time. Like,
if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. So to that extent, that's why I've never really kind of thought about mortality or even like making decisions on my behalf or whatever. Or as we were kind of even saying before about, if, you know, do not resuscitate and all that kind of stuff. I've never really understood that, because it's just, if you can save me, save me. If you can't,
is that so? That's the reason I asked that, because actually it's something that I've not thought about either, but it is what level I have actually seen the impact of not doing that. If you don't, because you're then giving somebody else a hole, and you know me and responsibility, I don't love loads of responsibility. I like to be as free as possible, but if suddenly, yeah, it puts potentially unnecessary and massive burden on the people that you love if you don't do it. So it's now, like, that has just triggered a thought for me to to think about it and potentially do something about it. Like, yeah, the do not resuscitate thing for me is it's important as well, because I actually, I don't want to be in a position where I'm resuscitated and then I'm brain dead, or I don't want to be in that position. So that's the do not resuscitate thing. Like, if I'm at a position, like, don't do it.
Yeah. I think to that extent, I haven't actually discussed it with anyone ever, but I'm always going to be of the camp of, if I can't live a comfortable life, like, if basically if I'm in a vegetative state.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm in a vegetative
state. I also
state,
can't say that word, by the way, which is really.
If I'm in a vegetative state, then that's not really a life for me. Like, you're hooked up to machines, or you're. Yeah. Just reliant on others and stuff like that. Like, and I hate being reliant.
So then, people. then so. We both have to have a conversation about this, about that with people, like, because it is somebody has to be responsible for that. Yeah.
Try and save me if I don't come back as. But like, as fun as I am, then, you know.
To have conversations with you, and I think across the board is like with your partner, with your parents, with your friends. So people know across the board what, like, because it is, it's what matters to you. There's the same thing that. And I don't know, is it changed now, or whether they were lobbying for it to change, about organ donorship? Like, I'm just like, take all of the bits of me and do whatever you can.
Can you use it somewhere else? I'm not going
to
need it.
But have I done enough to make sure that that happens? Probably not. Right? So we can say this now. We can say that we live in that land of, oh, yeah, obviously, donate all my body to science. But have we actually done anything about it?
There's the evidence right there. So
yeah, it's recorded now. Everybody knows. Take all of our organs, you know. I mean, you're going to find some interest. I don't know. Our organs are probably going to be no use to anybody. The way that, you know, my liver is pickled and, you know, probably not going to be much use to anybody. But, yeah, I think, like, say, here for a good time, not a long time, your heart, your salty arteries. But, yeah, it's like, you don't talk about it to anybody, you know. And then it just becomes a big burden of responsibility for somebody else afterwards. We're getting good at the water thing now.
I know. What would people be surprised to know about you?
I think you should, and I don't know if this is how this is supposed to be used, but I think you should answer that for me. So not you to answer it about you, but what do you think people, you know me pretty intimately, what do you think people would be surprised to know about me?
I mean, I've kind of already alluded to it before. You are incredibly kind and caring, and I feel like sometimes you, whenever we speak about that, I hate being responsible for others. I hate doing this. When someone says things like that, it gives a portrayal that they are selfish. And you often do say that, you know, you're like selfish, looking after number one and all those kind of things. And then I see your actions. I'm actually like, actually, love, you're bullshitting. You're actually a nice person. You're kind. You're caring. You just don't want to let on.
That is true in that I have that, but that's because I have like a massive no bullshit approach to, and I'm very, like, it's the brutal honesty, right? It comes out like that often people think I'm really blunt and brash and mean, and that's a lot of people's first impression of me. What? And I am all those things as
and
well.
Also, you are a big baby.
I am. People will be.
Do you want me to go into specifics and details?
Knock yourself out. Go on, knock yourself out.
So, what happened this morning? You can be like, please may I have cuddles?
I'm a big baby. Okay.
So,
and given that my signature catchphrase is stop being a baby.
Is that the gangster? Is that the strong, hard-headed person that is, you know, the meanest, brutal person ever that also wants to be babied?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. But, that wouldn't surprise my inner circle. They know that. But yeah, as a general thing. And something else just came up as well when you said that. I think one thing that would actually surprise people. So I'm obviously so adamant that I don't want children, like absolutely 100% no, I don't want to have children, never have done. Like, it's just something that I don't want. And But that translates to everybody that I don't like children, or that maybe I'm not good with children. And I think when I remember when you, which is completely like, so that's the impression that everybody gets. You got that one, and that definitely surprised you. And when you first saw me with a child, and you're like, what is going on here? And that's not the case. Like, that's an assumption people make as well. I've never said I don't like children. Like, don't get me wrong, sometimes I don't want my day to be disrupted by children, and the way I talk about them might not be the nicest. But, like, it doesn't mean that I don't, it doesn't mean that I hate children, that, you know, it's not that at all. So I think that surprises, and actually my proficiency with children. So I have been sat on an aeroplane and, like, taken a child off of a mother for a 4.5 hour flight to console the child. And I don't think anybody would think I would ever do that. Nobody would think that I would do that, or I would know how, but having spent all of my life, been brought up with, my mum is like super nanny. She's like, you know, she knows everything and can do anything with children. She's amazing. And she was a childminder for years and years of my life. So I've grew up around all of that. I was like prolific babysitter when I was a teenager. Like, I had so many babysitting jobs, it was unreal. And so I know how to do everything from literally newborns. You know, like, I can do, you know, pass me a baby now. I know how to change nappies. I know how to feed them. I know how to win them. I know how to do all of those things. And I don't think anybody would think that about me.
Can I ask a question with the flight one?
The flight one, yeah.
What compelled you to take the baby?
The distress of the mum. She was so embarrassed. And I don't want anybody to feel like that. Like, she and her, so that I could see what the issue was and she couldn't see what, it's a problem solving situation, right? Her energy, she was feeding all of her fear energy of this child is going to kick off and scream and it's going to be I hold so much respect for parents like that who are considerate. They're considerate about their surroundings, right? And she had that, but she'd taken it so far that I could see she was filled with fear of, like, this is going to be awful. And so it didn't matter what she did, she could do. I only did the same things that she did. But the energy that I gave that child versus the energy that she was full of was completely different. So as a result, like, she literally handed me the baby stopped crying. And I was like, this is because of, I was like, you're so full of, I know why, and that's horrible, and I don't like, so I just didn't want her to feel like that.
And also, you're just a magical child whisperer.
But yeah, it's that I don't want her to feel embarrassed, like, I also would love, I'm not going to be in this situation with a child. Also, well, I actually have been when my little brother and sister are 18 years younger than me. So I travelled with them when they were children. Yeah, I don't want to be the brunt, like, you know, I know what it's like to feel like to be the brunt of that. I watched my mum be the brunt of that as well. And it's like, you know, you can only do what you can do. Equally, like, I will sit there and be like, oh my God, this is the worst thing. All these horrible children on this flight. I can't stand it. But I think, yeah, I just saw somebody trying her best in a really difficult situation and not being able to get the outcome that she wanted. So if you think about who I am generally in life and what I do for work, it's literally that. It was just it's a different application of that scenario. And is there a little bit of me that didn't want to screw the child the whole time? Absolutely. Everything we do is selfish, and anybody who proclaims that it is not is bullshit. But yeah. Definitely some of that, I think.
Is there anyone you'd like informed of your passing that your loved ones might not know about?
I forgot to tell you about my secret boyfriend.
This is the time.
This is the time, Tara. Tell me about the secret boyfriend. Oh, that's a really cool question. Think about it. Now, I think all of my circles are so intertwined and embroiled that I don't think there's any there's no touch point in my life that somebody else, I don't have a single one of those. So it would happen organically. Like, that I don't have any single friendship that nobody else in my, or relationship, and that, do you know what? That really has just been something really telling for me. Like, I've spoken about it for ages, about being like a connector of people kind of thing. But I even do that in my own. So all of my people know each other. Everybody has at least one, usually much more than that, touch point or connection. Um, So no, I don't think so. I don't think there's any way that that would happen. Everybody's already connected and they would know. What about you?
No, I mean, I don't have any secret families, so unfortunately. Isn't that
but is there anybody that would be get left behind? Because you do have you. I feel like you have lots of like more. Even the other day, right? And obviously, we're not actually technically in the real world. We've not actually known each other that long, despite that it feels and we behave like it has been 70 long years. You'll mention somebody, and I'll be like, "Who the fuck is Kevin?" We've been.
It's a good friend.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean, though? But so, does your mum know Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they've met before.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my point. Is there anybody who, like, either your mum or the people who'd be organising that wouldn't know? Is there anybody that me or your mum or like your close friends just live on an outside circle, like somebody? Yeah.
Probably.
Somebody from work or somebody like that, like.
Probably, but I can't really think off the top of my head because the person that I am, I'm a chatty Cathy, and I'm going to talk to so many different people from different, like, no connectivity whatsoever.
That's what I mean. I reckon there's people like that in your circle.
But it's, so I mean, there's, you know, close colleagues that I worked with in the past that really became, you know, really big parts of my life, whether on a day-to-day basis when I was going to work or... whether it was just in general, like the friendships that you had from that. Mm. So from that perspective, it would be nice for them to know.
Maybe you should make a list. So this, I guess the point of this,
I mean,
right?
How long is the list going to be? Like?
Yeah, or just stop talking to people.
Yeah, but that's how I get my energy. Like, that's how I... Yeah. Like, even this morning, I was, you know... you saw this one, I was...
Zombie.
Let's just say I wasn't the best this morning. But like in doing this, I'm actually chatting away. I'm getting like a bit more mojo and things like that. And I just feeling a lot better.
Oh, no, that means you're going to be annoying all day now.
But I kind of get my energy from that. So.
Good one. My turn. Yeah, it's my turn.
Can I just do this a whole day?
Yeah.
Going to be the longest podcast episode ever. Part one, part 13.
What is the most wildly inappropriate thing a person can do at your funeral or celebration of life service? What's permitted?
Oh, no idea. No, read the question.
What's the most wildly inappropriate thing a person can do at your funeral / celebration of life service?
I think actually just like chatting away and cracking jokes, whether it's about, you know, my experiences and like some stupid stories or drunk stories out and things like that. I think that's fine. That's all part and parcel of kind of remembering someone, because you can, like, whenever there's death or, you know, people passing, it's people always tend to kind of paint everything like rose tinted glasses and almost paint them as like an angel or something. And I know damn well I wasn't an angel. Yes, I would like to think I wasn't, you know, I was. Why am I speaking past? I don't think I'm a nice person.
Have you passed over to the other side already?
So I want people to kind of remember me with being nice and kind and stuff like that. But also equally, some of the stupid stuff I've actually done in terms of the stories, obviously don't share some stuff to my mum, which would be like, who the hell is this? Because, you know, some things should be kept separate. I think... Yeah, it's and amongst my friends and stuff like that, it's fine for them to actually crack jokes.
But everybody's gonna be at that. Your mum's gonna be at that service. Yeah. So where's the line? I suppose, like that. Maybe that's where is the line of like you can be. This is as far as somebody could go. You can't say it out loud now. Do you know what my thought there is? Well, obviously, I have a generally like open, very, very open relationship with pretty much everybody that touches my life. Even my, I mean, I already have an inappropriate. Last night, you would have been a perfect example of the level of inappropriateness I have in the relationship with my mother and father. Right? Like, there's just no, there's really, there's no conversations that are off limits at all in life. So, I feel like I would love that to be taken to the next step in that kind of, because I'm gone. And it doesn't matter for me now, and that's kind of fun. But the thing you said about this, the painting of like angels, it's really difficult, right? Because I'm going to share an interesting story. I once went to a funeral, and I went to support my partner at the time, but I went to a funeral of somebody who I despised. I absolutely despised them. I thought they were a bad person. To this day, I think they're a bad person. I think they're a horrible person. The things they did to me were horrific. The things I watched them do to other people were horrific. Don't think he was a good person. And that it was so difficult for me to sit there and listen to the bullshit that was spouted at his funeral.
Yeah.
And I was just like, how, like, I would hate that for me. If some, like I want someone to be honest. Like, they don't have to, you know, nobody's going to stand there and be like, you know, this person hurt me and or what, but even, you know, like, she wasn't always on her top form. There were times when she behaved like an asshole. And, you know, luckily in my life, I think I've figured out those in life anyway and apologize for the times I've behaved like that. But yeah, it's almost false and fake and icky to me when it's just this, like, I don't know, obviously it's a celebration of life and all of the good things that you've done. But yeah, there's truth and honesty and all of that. And, you know, somebody's probably going to say, God, at least we've got a bit more peace and quiet now. She's gone. God, at least we can just do things without her trying to give me a personal leadership lesson every time I walk past the fucking door.
So like, that's what makes everything a personal leadership lesson.
Yeah, exactly. So I just, I would like there to be nothing off limits at my celebration. And I would like whoever is in charge of that and whoever has the most, and that might be one or two or three people, whoever has the most influence and input, who has been the closest to me and this has impacted the most, that's for them. Do whatever you want to do. It's not for me anymore. You know, like people who are like, well, I want, you know, at my funeral, I want X and I want, I don't care. I'm dead. The people who are there, who are experiencing it, who are grieving, who are, they're who matter now. So do what they want to do. Throw the thing like they want to throw it.
It's interesting though, because you mentioned the way that people are kind of portrayed within there, and you know, it seems fake or icky or whatever the case may be. But I also had this week actually, I didn't actually tell you. So on.
No, it's all coming out now.
No. But on Thursday. So actually, Thursday would have been my dad's birthday.
You did tell me that.
Ah, yeah.
You did, yeah.
So. And again, never cared about it in the past however long. And to be honest, until recently, I didn't actually know when his birthday was. Mm-hmm. Just because he hadn't been a big part of my life or whatever. But I kind of found myself like being a little bit reminiscent and even a little bit like, maybe I was too hard on him, or maybe I was thinking this, that, and the other, and like maybe I painted him wrong. And I kind of start questioning my own memory of stuff, my own, you know, understanding of actually the events that occurred with him being absent for so long, me kind of reaching out and then not really getting the positive response that I wanted or even a level of effort at all. So I almost just kind of, like when it passed in October, like again, that's when it felt weird. All the rush of emotions I actually went through that time, because I was like, where has this come from? Yeah. And
what a fun time to experience it. The first time you ever met my parents, it was like introduction time, dinner party time, and you get a phone call. And by the way, your estranged father is dead.
Yeah. And honestly, that just came, because I've always said within there, like, you know, he hasn't been a part of my life for the past 20 odd years, so it's not actually going to make any difference. And theoretically, you know, that's still true. But again, you know, it's
not fully though. There was some. It did make some difference. Yeah. It made you feel an emotion that you weren't expecting. It made you.
So that kind of came out of nowhere. And then also recently with the with the birthday thing, I was like, oh wow, like that was just like an emotional thing that came out of nowhere, essentially. So yeah, it was quite surprising. And then also just my perspective within that, just like I said, in terms of questioning my own kind of memory and stuff.
And nobody's going to have stood at his funeral and gone, actually, yeah, he was a bit of a shitty dad.
And do you know what? Like, actually, a lot of people seem to... So I got added to the WhatsApp group by the church and things like that. Or at least I got told of the messages because I didn't want to be part of that. But when I saw, like, some of the comments that people were sharing within that, it was actually all, like, positive. I was like, hey, who's this person we're kind of talking about? And don't get me wrong, I can understand some of the glimpses of it. There's another traits and characteristics that he kind of had. But then there was also, like, the deeper stuff is like, So I guess maybe he was the fun person, but he wasn't actually, like, a serious person. So... yeah, maybe they just saw like a completely different side, and you know, you never know who everyone is behind closed doors and stuff like that. So,
do you know what? This has inspired me. Maybe I will write a request in my will that in my funeral, everybody stands up and says the thing that they hated me about me the most, just for shits and giggles.
So that is loved about you.
Yeah,
like
just at least they have to say at least one thing, the worst thing about me. Like, do you know what I mean? Just for
she
it to
doesn't
be
like, close lids properly. Fuck.
But like,
she molts everywhere. Oh wait, no.
We're not allowed to talk about that. I think I'm losing my head. That's a sensitive thing right now. I was saying to my mum yesterday, I think I'm going bald. It's falling out.
You still look pretty.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, like that. That would be like a legacy thing for me as well, because it's so much how I am in life now.
The honesty kind of thing.
With that, and like I love exploring that. What a cool thing to be able to do at my funeral, to be like, right, if you have something to say, you have to say at least, or for everybody to, you know, like for somebody to read them out, and for someone, you share them in advance or whatever. What's the worst thing about it? What's the best thing about it?
Ooh, put them in anonymously.
Yeah. How cool would that be?
We are revolutionizing.
Funeral, yeah. Well, there's a business idea here. There's a business idea.
Patent pending.
Yeah. When was the last time you made yourself proud?
Ooh. That's a difficult one because I feel like on a daily basis, I go through like a level of introspection and just general appreciation for my life. So there's always a pride thing within it. I think the easy thing would be like when I got my promotion at work, I was like, yes, finally did it. But
what made you proud yesterday? I definitely think you do that. You do that on the daily. I do that on the daily too. So then what made you proud yesterday? What were you proud of that you did yesterday?
It sounds silly, but things that I've actually been proactively trying to make things happen in my life rather than actually have them happen to me. So from just general yesterday, was it yesterday, Friday? I think just generally being able to accomplish like some of the tasks from work, which I was like, Jesus Christ, I did not know if we were going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But within that, I was able to have a sense of leadership within the team and actually being able to delegate and actually communicate, I think, pretty well with the team and actually will manage to do what we need to do. So that gave me a sense of pride within that because it helped me massively get over the line, because in the past, I would have just been like, okay, yeah, this is all going to be on me. Squarely on me. And then I end up with so much stress. But now I'm actually learning a lot more to actually give up that doing and do every day and all the time. And actually just growing as a leader, as a person, to be able to trust other people and believing in the process that, you know, it's going to move in the right direction. And also sometimes if I feel a type of way, like yesterday, for example, just being able to be like, okay, yeah, don't be reactive, don't let your pride get in the way or whatever, and actually just calm, okay, take it in, accept, you know, other people's perspective and viewpoints and stuff like that, and just kind of roll, not roll the punches, but like accept a sense of responsibility. Mm-hmm. So it's just my general growth I've actually seen of myself, and actually that's why I like kind of looking back on my life and just being from where I was born in Zimbabwe, how we kind of grew up, moving to England, even maybe 5-6 years ago where I was like somewhat directionless. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of look at all those kind of things and I'm like, damn, I'm really proud of myself and how I've evolved.
Everybody's looking for those big pride moments, right? But you're right, it happens in the every single day. Yeah. Like, I don't think, and it's something I'm always doing with my clients as well, like celebrating. Every day you do something, just because it's small, it doesn't mean you don't have that level of, and all of those things are the things that are adding up anyway. But yeah, every day to be proud of something small rather than waiting to be proud of the big, like say the big promotion or the whatever. But what about, what about the way you spoke to somebody? What about if you helped somebody? What about if you held a boundary with yourself? What about, you should be proud of all of those micro things. Like they're actually,
Because they stack up. Yeah. And one of the, doing an International Women's Day video for work, and one of the women there was talking about how someone said to her that she focuses so much on the end goal rather than actually the checkpoints, which is the smaller things in, you know, whether it's the little day-to-day habits or little wins that you kind of get within that, you almost just kind of fly past them.
Yeah.
And you never actually have a sense of appreciation within that. Like, that's not to say dwell within it and, you know, never look at big picture and what you can actually achieve and how high you can achieve and aim. But it's also important to actually, like, those little wins that actually make you feel good and bring a smile to your face and you're like, oh, wow, that was squeaky bum time, but we managed to actually do it.
And I think one of the things, this has just made me think as well, like, we even... I like to do like little rituals, and I love the fact that we're doing these things here today and having that conversation about why rituals are so important, like daily rituals, just to ask your partner on the daily, like, what did you do today that you were proud of? Or like, here's one thing I was really proud of you for today. Like, what a good thing to do on the date, like a thing to add to your routine, like your nighttime routine or your morning routine or whatever. Like, what's one thing you were proud of? I think we should do that. It's a good question.
Show appreciation.
Excellent. Baby, you know I just like to talk with you. I just wanna go out on